Welcome in, everybody. This is the Locked On Eagles podcast. It's the postgame show. Finally, this Eagles team not only puts together a full 60-minute performance, and this is Louis DiBiase, by the way, joined as always by Gino Camilleri of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Not only did the Eagles put together a full 60-point performance, but they did it, Gino.
60 points? That would have been pretty incredible. 60 minutes.
Yes, 60 minutes, sorry. The adrenaline is flowing. They did it against the most hated rival in Philadelphia sports history, a team that they have lost four straight games. They have not beat them since 2017. They do it in a do-or-die matchup where if they lose, they're done. They do it in a game where they headed into this one without Lane Johnson, DeSean Jackson, Nelson Agholor, Alshon Jeffrey, Jordan Howard. Who else am I missing? On the defensive side of the football, Malik Jackson. Grugier Hill.
Hassan Ridgeway.
Jalen Mills is out of the game.
Ronald Darby's out of the game.
Yeah, right. Then in the game, Darby, Mills, Fletcher Cox, Zach Ertz, Dallas Goedert, Timmy Jernigan. All of these players go down at one point. And the Eagles still pull it off. They win it 17-9 against the Dallas Cowboys. They are now in sole place, first place in the NFC East here at 8-7. All they have to do is win next week against the New York Giants to clinch the NFC East, or the Dallas Cowboys have to lose to the Washington Redskins. And Gino, before I let you go, honestly, this week, I think a lot of people that were listening to our podcast throughout this week and really throughout the season, my confidence in this defense, your confidence in this defense really was at zero. It was a lack of faith in Jim Schwartz, his coverage schemes. It was a lack of faith in the discipline of all three levels of the secondary being able to hold on. And maybe, and I think we were justified to doubt, to have not a lot of confidence heading into this football game. But the fan of me maybe deserved to have to deal with another stomach ulcer that this Eagles team gave me, because, man, did that defense, and we'll get into the offense too, did both sides come through? And then the defense only holding the Cowboys to 9 points. I'll give one thing. I mean, they got lucky a lot, but to do what they did today, it was huge.
We finally got to see this Eagles team. I mean, outside of all the pieces you listed.
Right, still a skeleton
together,
of what we think.
Oh,
they
yeah,
are, but
still
yes.
A skeleton crew, still like a JV-esque type team.
Right.
But that even makes it even better, the performance that they went out there
it
and
does.
Put out there. But they finally played 60 pretty good minutes of football. I mean, yes, there were some mistakes by Dallas, but man, this Eagles team won the game. Like, that was a team win. The definition of a team win, from the offense just getting it done when they needed to in the fourth quarter, when they needed to get a first down, when they needed to get two first downs, actually, they did it. When they needed to score points outside of Jake Elliott, they did it. The defense, man, I mean, I'm not going to give Jim Schwartz a lot of credit because I still think he put them in bad situations.
They got saved by a lot of drops.
Free yards was just not something I loved before half. I've never really loved that, and he did it again, and then he kind of did it down the stretch again.
Yep, on that final drive.
But the thing is, even when they were in a bad position and they needed some big plays, you got guys to step up today. You have Fletcher Cox goes out to an injury, comes back in two plays later, beats a double team on two Pro Bowlers, Frederick and Martin on the
backed
inside.
Backed up in their own, 20-yard line, 15-yard
line? Oh, they were easily in field goal range there. Yep. That was a 3-point, if not a 7-point swing there. Gets the fumble, makes a huge play. Malcolm Jenkins tips a ball, makes a huge play. Even Jalen Mills was making plays out there. And I want everybody, this Christmas season and the season of giving and care and love and friendship, I want you all to go to the dollar store, grab maybe an I'm sorry card, and address it to the NovaCare Complex in Philly, and address it to Sidney Jones. Because every single person that doubted that man owes him an apology. When everybody ripped him for the performance he had against Dallas last season, and for Jim Schwartz outright benching him for Craig James and just never giving him an opportunity. When duty calls, when nobody else was there, when they needed him, he came up and played some of the best football I've seen in Eagles corner playing sometime.
Twice in the last 3 weeks, he has made the game-winning probably play for the defense against the Giants and now the Cowboys.
He made a couple of plays that were impressive. I mean, the one to Amari Cooper, who he ran stride for stride with him in the end zone. And then he has that pass breakup. I mean, Ronald Darby got roasted on that same exact route several times throughout this year. Can't make a catch on the ball, even messed up earlier in the game, allowed a big, long third down completion. Sidney Jones, fresh legs, comes off the bench and makes a play and just doesn't even faze him. And that's what this Eagles team comes down to. And I think that was really an epitome of what this Eagles team is. When all the chips are stacked against you, when you are literally down to your cornerbacks that were on the bench for a couple weeks. Sidney Jones was healthy scratch. Howard's out for the game. You're down to J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, who even goes out. Greg Ward and Robert Davis and all these guys continue to step up, have fun, and make plays. They are finally flying around on defense like we like to see. They're finally getting it going on offense outside of a couple very, very questionable play calls from Doug Peterson. They put together a complete game. And, man, Carson Wentz, everybody else in the world that ever doubted that, man, what were you waiting so long to get on the wagon for?
What's the WWE media going to do now? You know, the WWE-like media that likes to create all these narratives and storylines? Like, what are they going to hate on Wentz about now? Because, like, this was the last thing, Gino, was like, oh, he's never played in a playoff game, a do-or-die moment. And here he does, in that moment, goes 31 of 40, 319 yards, and a touchdown. And he makes some incredible throws early on to Arcega-Whiteside, to Greg Ward down the field. That back shoulder throw to Dallas Goedert in the fourth quarter was amazing.
That was a beautiful throw.
Honestly, last year was such a wild ride down the stretch. But I am enjoying this. With as frustrating as the 2019 season has been for us this year, with all the disappointments, I have enjoyed the last 3 weeks of football more than I have enjoyed Eagles football, honestly, since 2017. And it's because I'm watching Carson Wentz prove the entire world wrong and go on the run that we've wanted to and have questioned he could do over the last 2 years. And to see him do it, I honestly now, Gino, think, especially seeing it confirmed today, because the last two games, yes, they were against the Giants and the Redskins. I have no doubt if he was healthy in 2017 down the stretch and 2018, that the same result would have happened. I firmly believe that. I really do.
Oh, I've been on record saying I think they would have scored 50 against the Patriots in the Super Bowl if he played that game. Like, I've said it multiple times. But, yeah, I mean, we don't have to put these hypotheticals out there anymore. I think you can really put that to bed forever. Just dig a grave 6 feet, maybe even 12 feet down, and throw your Wentz is not clutch narrative in there and never think about digging it up ever again, because he has gone in three straight divisional matchups, come from behind in two of them, in the fourth quarter and overtime, which he was perfect 15 for 15, by the way, and in a game against Dallas, completes nearly 80% of his passes with a touchdown, now 59-1 in touchdown to interception in the red zone
ratio.
And
how about that touchdown to Goddard? That was an impossible window.
The broadcast view did not do it justice, they showed the end zone view, it was even prettier. Into triple coverage right where only Dallas Goedert could have caught
it. It was high and outside, just like the throw to JJ that same drive.
And you needed players to make up and make big catches, and they did. When you needed a couple bounces to go your way, they did. I mean, the Dallas Goedert snag when he had to double catch it almost drops a wide open ball, and he finally gets it in his grasps and double caught it. You had that catch to JJ. You had the catch to Dallas on the outside, the catch to Dallas in the end zone. Really a lot of catches from Dallas Goedert. You were quick
to
mention
exact,
him as
yeah.
having, yeah, you were quick to mention him having a big game today. And man, Craig Ward and JJ, they deserve some credit, dude. JJ finished with 2 for 39, 19.5 per reception.
And they were
Greg
two
Ward,
big ones on that first drive. They were huge. The second one, too. Like, the first one was a really tough window, and it was like a vintage JJ, like, I'm going to go up and get this pass like I did at Stanford kind of play. But even the second one, where Wentz is rolling right, and by the way, I loved that they got Wentz on the move today because he's so accurate as a passer on the run. And he throws it. You know, that was such a, like, Alshon Jeffrey's done that a lot this year, Gino, where he's kind of, like, diving, like, his entire body to the outside, right? Just stretched out, and Wentz puts it perfectly only, like, in between the triangle that your hands form when you're catching the football, like, only there. So, to see JJ and Greg Ward who finished today again, 4 catches for 71 yards. This story is just so cool, Greg Ward. And you even said you're going to buy a AAF, what, San Antonio Commanders jersey of Greg Ward?
Oh, yeah, that was my squad, man.
It's just like these guys
are... Give the kid his respect.
They're not stars, but to see sure-handed wide receivers that are just making plays for Carson Wentz, it has been the difference these last 3 weeks. And honestly, even like against Miami, the offense put up 31 points. So this has been a month now where you have seen a rejuvenation in Carson Wentz, and I think a lot of it has to do with the new guys, the new wave of Greg Ward, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, Boston Scott, and Miles Sanders, who we'll get into. Honestly, Gino, we got to take a quick break. But today, this game is a representation of really what this Eagles football team has been the last 3 years in this kind of moment where they're, again, you like to say it all the time, where their backs are against the wall and they just got to come out swinging to fight to keep their season alive. And while I think we were right to doubt them in this matchup from a schematic standpoint, from an on-the-field standpoint, from an X's and O's standpoint, I think from taking a step back and thinking about what this team is, this core is, battle-tested, we shouldn't have doubted that this was a possibility. Because that, again, this has been the result in 2017, in 2018, and even a lot this year against Green Bay earlier in the season, and now these last three games. It has been so awesome and so encouraging, because the last time these two teams played, we thought the locker room might be broken. We thought that maybe, I didn't think Doug Peterson lost the locker room, but we thought that internally there was all the stories that week. The source came out and talked to Josina Anderson. To see now how this team has rallied around Carson Wentz, it is such a good feeling.
It's fantastic. It truly is. And you saw a team in Dallas, and I posed this question to Marcus Mosier, and I said, what is going to happen when they come out? And not that they almost aren't playing for Jason Garrett, but they're just not prepared to play.
Sure,
and
seemed
I think
like they weren't.
They were, in all respect, the only guy that really did was the guy that was injured in Dak Prescott. I mean, he put them in a position to possibly beat us. I think that he did enough.
How many big drops down the field, even on that final drive where, you know, Sidney Jones eventually makes the game-winning stop? Rasul Douglas got burned by Amari Cooper. That should have been a touchdown. And then Jalen Mills got torched down the field by Michael Gallup. So Dak just did not get any help today. It was quite fitting, honestly, though.
But
Gino,
I'm also not going
to
cut him some slack, right, because he had all his weapons. They have all of their offensive line outside of their left guard.
It was quite fitting that it was Wentz this time that got the help instead of Dak. It's a nice change of pace, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. And to do it with your fourth, fifth wide receiver, Robert Davis. And on the other side, you have Randall Cobb, who probably is a cusp Hall of Famer, with what he did in Green Bay. You have Amari Cooper, who has been the best receiver in Dallas, and Michael Gallup and Jason Witten, and you have Blake Jarwin, and you have Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard. The only guy your offense is missing is your left guard, and hey, good thing you have a Pro Bowl left tackle and a Pro Bowl center and a Pro Bowl right guard. The Eagles beat an unprepared Dallas team. They put it together when it mattered. They beat the adversity. They are a team that even when the chips are against them, even when their backs are against the wall, and you
have no talent left.
No talent. They will play with heart. And you know what that comes from, Lou? What are the two most important positions on a football team?
Head coach and quarterback.
And who went out there, got this team to play now three straight weeks in a row after rock bottom. Literally rock bottom for this team.
It felt like it after Miami. It really did.
Doug Peterson collected this team. You take a dish and throw it on the ground and you put it back together, and you know that you can never get all the pieces back together, but I think they have taken this dish, melted it down, and made it an even more beautiful product, because what you're seeing now is you're not seeing guys like Alshon, and you're not seeing guys like Nelson who just are there and they're playing because they, quote, deserve to get their touches. You're now seeing guys that are deserving of their touches, that have stepped up in this next man up mentality, are going to play for Carson Wentz, are going to play for the guy next to them, are going to step up when it matters. You finally are seeing it. I mean, yes, Alshon did a lot this season. Yes, Nelson has helped them in the past, but you're finally seeing these young guys. I've said it a couple weeks. They're having fun, man. And the leader arguably might be one of the youngest guys on the team in Miles Sanders, a man who has gone from I'm on a Star Wars kick. I saw the final one yesterday, who has gone from a young Padawan to literally a Jedi Master all within one season. He is
– And all with an honestly like a month.
He carries him, man. He puts the backpack on when you need yards on the ground. You're not seeing Josh Adam or Wendell Smallwood.
Running backs matter, Gino. Running backs matter.
They do, and ones that can learn and get better and are smart and have elite explosiveness. Man, that run at the end – He could have scored a touchdown.
He pulled the Brian
was
Westbrook. He did the Brian Westbrook.
He shut the game down when it mattered, and we have seen this kid. He's not a kid. He's a man, and he deserves that title. And we have seen a young man who was questioned coming out of Penn State. Is he even a top five running back in this class with how raw he was? Is he going to be what Saquon Barkley was at Penn State? You know, he didn't have many touches in his 1 year, but over 15 games, he's the best running back I've seen in Philadelphia since LeSean McCoy, and I will not even hesitate to say that.
And it's not even just running back. Like, for me, I said running backs matter. You know, it's a funny thing that, you know, on Twitter, and running backs, it's a devalued position, not just from a fan perspective, but also from, you know, management and, you know, money-wise, outside of fantasy football. But it's not just like a running back matters. I'm not one of those guys that says you got to run the football 40 times in a game. It's weapons in the backfield matter. Mm-hmm. And when Miles Sanders, because not only did he rush for 79 yards today and a touchdown, averaging 4 yards per carry yet again, but Gino, once again in the passing game, and especially in the screen game, to see the patience allowing him to let the blocks, or he's allowing the blocks to set up, rather than Wendell Smallwood immediately last year catching a screen pass and just jamming it down the field and getting
he's
3 yards.
Running into the back of his defender.
Right. When instead, Miles Sanders today, it was one on the right side in the fourth quarter, perfectly lets Kelsey Brooks get down the field, and he gains like 20 yards instead of what would have been 5 if he immediately went, because Byron Jones was there ready for the stop, but he let Brooks get to that second level and take him down. To see the patience, to see him, because he did look pretty raw early on. He was making these plays down the field as a receiver, but the run game was not there yet. And to see just, I don't know what game it was. I was driving home thinking, like, when did this Miles Sanders breakout really start? And I think it was the Miami game from a running perspective, to see now how he sets up blocks through the passing game and the run game, to see the patience, the cut ability, to know when to cut rather than just get downfield because you're a fast-ass running back, to see the maturation process of Miles Sanders has been so, and it's part of why that I'm enjoying this run so much more, Gino, is because not only Carson Wentz, I'm enjoying the ride with him doing it this time, but it's also Miles Sanders. Because me and you were joking before the game, I sent you a link of our draft rankings, because we were talking about, you know, in the offseason, oh, let's see like how we did in our evaluation of the 2019 draft class. One guy we nailed, Miles Sanders. This dude looks like a star, and he's young. He looks like a core piece of this offense for a very long time.
Per Adam Kaplan, this is per NFL Research, Miles Sanders has become the fifth rookie since the year 2000 with 500-plus rush yards and 500-plus receiving yards in a season. He now joins Reggie Bush, Giovanni Bernard, Alvin Kamara, and Saquon Barkley. Pretty good company, if I'd say so.
He's but been in a lot of things with Saquon.
Yeah, right? I know. It's a good comparison, and the kid is putting up numbers. I mean, he's not Saquon Barkley, of course, but he is doing pretty good for a Penn State running back. But Lou, in this offseason, when I was saying what they need in a running back, what were the two qualities and the two statistics that I said they needed to have somebody come in here, both in the rush game and the pass game? Do you remember what I said?
I don't know, man, because they needed so much, so you tell me.
You needed somebody that could run for 750 yards on the ground and catch 500 yards in the air.
Miles Sanders, yeah.
You needed a weapon. You needed an all-around weapon. We were talking about possibly TJ Yeldon. Tevin Coleman's name was out there for a while.
Duke Johnson.
Man,
yeah.
Remember how mad people were that we missed out on Tevin Coleman? Man, I am sure as shit happy that we missed out on Tevin Coleman, because Miles Sanders is a stud. He is a pro's pro. He really has matured in front of our eyes. Him and Boston Scott have a really cool relationship. He's another guy who just continues to show up when it matters.
Six
the return game
today, yeah.
is finally rejuvenated. We're finally getting good field position because of Boston Scott. And hats off, Howie Roseman, a hell of an offseason evaluating guys that you needed to bring in here when you had question marks at running back. You got two guys that you can rely on now, Boston Scott and Miles Sanders. You got guys that filled in at other positions. I mean, Anthony Rush, he showed up when it mattered today, too. I thought he played a solid ball game. Josh Sweat, come on, kid. Like, he continues to show up every single week in a big way.
He's got the clutch gene. It's always in big spots. Like, quarterback is always the position that we talk about, clutch gene. But defensive end, like Josh Sweat steps up in a big moment, I feel like, all year.
Vinny Curry even stepped up today.
Huge
Fletcher
sack
Cox
on that
made
final
big
drive.
Plays.
Yep.
Derek Barnett made a play or two. Brandon Graham made some big plays. Man, I mean, I saw a lot of people talking about the pass rush. When the pass rush needed to get there, when there was coverage on the back end, they did. But the only reason they weren't getting there for a while is because Schwartz was playing 15 yards off. And my fiance, funny enough, she goes, I just hate where Jalen Mills is lined up all of the time. And I go, don't we all? Because he lines up 12 yards off every single time.
I call it the free yards package.
It literally is just like taking yards, mm-hmm. saying, here, you can have them. Not really changing it or doing anything different. Literally just staying in the pre-snap look that you had. And they just check it down over the middle to Amari Cooper, and he picks up 12 yards and converts a couple first downs. But the players, they bailed Jim Schwartz out for putting them in bad positions.
And it's the
they
ones that he's neglected,
and made
dude.
Some plays.
Like, it's the ones that he's neglected, and Sidney Jones and Rasul Douglas, and he hasn't neglected Avante Maddox, but Maddox comes up in a big way, too. It's the three guys that me and you wanted to start all season long that played in a big spot while Ronald Darby gets burned yet again down the field, has no idea how to play the football. He's the Nelson Aguilar of the defense.
The and science then, behind it doesn't make any sense.
And then, of course, he gets hurt, so because that's Ronald Darby. Everybody likes to bash Sidney Jones for the injuries, but Ronald Darby gets hurt more than anybody on this football team. And then Jalen Mills on the other side. I don't know how many times it's going to take for him to get burned down the field for them to make a change, but maybe he's just, again, it's Jalen Mills no matter what. I post that meme all the time on Twitter. So there were still some issues in this football game. The defense specifically, they only gave up 9 points, but there was a lot of times where there was a huge chunk play where there was just a bad drop or the secondary got really lucky. Again, hats off to Jones. He, Gino, you're a soccer guy, and I was trying to come up with a good comparison on the way home. Sidney Jones reminds me of, is there a position where there's always a player in soccer where you save him for like the final 10 minutes?
And yeah, he's like your super sub.
Yes,
yeah,
thank you.
At Man City for a while, we had Edin Dzeko. We had Kelechi Iheanacho, a guy you could bring on in the 80th minute.
This is what they need to do with Sidney Jones. On the final drive of the game, just put Sidney Jones out there because he makes a big play. It's unreal.
I mean, I'm so excited to go back and watch the All-22 from Sidney Jones because he just looked like a cornerback and played it really well. The first play he's out there, they run a double move on him. Of course, like scouting report, you run double moves on a fresh Eagles wide receiver. It's as sure as the sun coming up in the east. He goes out there, plays it, backpedals perfectly, gets out of his stance, turns his hips. They were just beautifully fluid and run step for step with Gallup. Dude, he looked good, man. And the other guys, I know Rasul Douglas stepped up at times, but he almost let Tavon Austin pull a John Brown against the Cardinals a couple years ago.
Of course, there's no safety over top to help him.
No, yeah, see, situational Jim, like how he trusts his guys to play man coverage is just insane. But the guy that you could trust in man coverage today was Sidney Jones, and it's just beautiful. And I went on a little Periscope, and I said, everybody's been giving him crap. Jim Schwartz has been giving him crap.
But I enjoyed that Periscope.
He deserves the credit, and I love the since I've been in the scouting academy and appreciating what you can get good out of a player. And the reason I love J.J. Arcega-Whiteside is because he has like that element to him that you know you can get. You know he'll go up and get the ball for you. And even when people doubt him and say, oh, he's not a true number one wide receiver, I've seen it. And he showed up today in big moments. The same thing with Sidney Jones. I watched what he did at Washington. There was a reason I loved him coming out of the college. There was a reason teams loved him coming out of college. He's made big plays. It's unfortunate the position that he was in, but hey, how many guys go out there after being a healthy scratch less than a month ago and step up against your bitter rival with the division on the line and make a play like Sidney Jones plays?
Well, and that, we criticized him when that, it was
that
fair.
That is huge.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I was going to say, like, me and you were hard on Sidney Jones after the Minnesota game and when he got hurt again. Like, we were honest about it because me and you were hyping him the hell up this summer. But you got to give him credit. If you're going to bash him when it's due, it's also time to give him credit when it's due. And, yeah, like you said, when it felt like his confidence was shot to make two huge plays in giant spots in two of the last 3 weeks when you had to win those football games or else you're done, that is such a big confidence boost for that kid. And, you know, so it was a great game for the three young corners for sure. And a lot of people will say, I think you know, because we were kind of going after Jim Schwartz. I think some people will defend him by saying, well, you know, if he doesn't play off the ball, they're just going to get destroyed anyway. But it doesn't matter how far off Jalen Mills or Ronald Darby play off the football. They're getting beat down the field, and I'm just thinking to myself when I had no doubt that Dallas was going to at least drive down to the opposing 20. I'm just thinking to myself, I would love a time where they can play up, they can play aggressive, and at the same time not get beat deep. I feel like that's not a lot to ask after 10 years of not having that. I long for the days when we finally have just a complete cornerback that when there's that final drive, I'm not having an aneurysm because I have no faith in number 31.
Sidney Jones, baby. That's your answer.
I hope, man. I've been telling you really for a long time. It would be an awesome story if he could turn it around at this point. It would be awesome. And they got him under contract still.
But that's the thing, Lou. Like, even if he didn't show up halfway through the season, he's showing up when it matters. Like, the context to me in this game of you look at the guys that showed up in Carson Wentz and Miles Sanders and Sidney Jones and Fletcher Cox, and even I felt Nigel Bradham played one of his better games.
Let's give a shout out too to a special teams player that's not Boston Scott. How about TJ Edwards?
TJ Edwards, baby. Oh, that kid deserves credit.
And I'm kind
sure.
of coasting a lot of the time on a special teams play. I'm half paying attention and more so giving my thoughts on Twitter about what happened on offense or defense. But I kept noticing TJ Edwards out there every time give the Eagles defense good field position. I mean, it's been the opposite where the Eagles offense, I feel like, has been getting boned with field position the past month. But today, on both sides of the football, I think the special teams did a hell of a job. Outside of, without, of course, Jake Elliott.
And that's what we talk. Yeah, Jake Elliott. Oh, my God. We're not even going to mention him. But we'll talk about him on stock down. Don't worry.
Sure.
But,
yes, exactly.
You talked about a team that even when, like, your special teams let you down in the kicking game, they made big plays. I mean, how many times was Dallas, were they starting before the 25-yard line?
And how many times were we starting at, like, the 35 or 40?
Yep, yeah. Exactly. And you finally got an element out of that. And I jokingly said on Twitter the other day, if you hadn't seen it, the Texas High School Football State Championship was played at Jerry World. And the one team ran this kickoff return that is, apparently it's called a starburst return, where it's almost like a flying V from the Mighty Ducks. And I jokingly said, oh, look, a high school team playing better special teams than the actual NFL team that plays on that stadium. Dallas special teams unit's bad. They stink. They did not set that team up, especially for a team that had arguably your best offensive player in Dak Prescott, not at 100%. You would figure you would hope to get that guy in better field position and not really rely on his arm and give your $90 million running back a little bit of the load. But
and how about the job they did on Zeke, by the way? He averaged only 3.6 yards per carry today, 13 carries for only 47 yards. This is a dude that the Eagles have never beat, and that's destroyed this team for a couple years now.
I looked at that team and said, who's going to beat us? It's going to be a guy like Tony Pollard. It's going to be like a guy like Tavon Austin that can beat us in space. Tavon Austin almost did.
Why
do you give Ezekiel Elliott a check down screen when you have a guy like Tony Pollard? Zeke isn't making anybody miss in space. He hasn't done it in how long? He's a north-south runner who needs a guy that, much like Tony Pollard, much like the reason you drafted him, that could take reps in the receiving game and win in space, and they just didn't do that. They didn't utilize their running backs the way that they should have, and the Eagles took advantage of that. And I believe that if Dallas was smart, they would have just chucked the ball down the field every single time, because
they're the only team in the last month that has decided they didn't want to test these corners. And maybe it was Dak's injury, but you know, it's hard for me to give Jason Garrett the benefit of the doubt. That man, and you said it, we're gonna make some t-shirts. Jason Garrett, I mean, the cowardice coaching job he did today. If I was Dallas and Marcus Mosher, our good friend from Locked On Cowboys, wanted him fired on the spot. And now Dallas, and it's just, again, it's a reflection of coaching. They're 0-8 now this year when trailing, heading into the halftime. They're one of the, if not the worst team at adjusting.
Team that can't make adjustments. Yeah, you said it.
And it's the opposite of the Eagles. Like, we've always bashed them for being a terrible first half team, whereas today they got that going. And normally, even Jim Schwartz has been better at adjusting at halftime than starting off football games. And so that was also a difference, too. I'm so glad we can finally just call out the fraudness of the Dallas Cowboys. And look, again, it's not over. If the Eagles lose next week, all the Cowboys have to do is beat the Redskins to get into the playoffs. But to see the Cowboys lose this football game, and now they've really only had have they even? I don't even want to say last week's win against the Rams is an impressive one. I mean, this has been a fake, phony football team all year that just continues to garner headlines because they're the Dallas Cowboys. That's really it. And I'm glad that the Eagles could expose them, beat the fraud Los Angeles Rams in front of Troy Aikman. I enjoyed that a lot today.
Well, you see all the Philadelphia Eagles. They look like a college football. He just like sounds like he's chewing on marbles all the time, and his takes are ridiculous. And Jimmy Johnson said that Jason Garrett deserved a 10-year contract if he won this football game.
Don't mention, Gino, that Ryan Fitzpatrick has more passing touchdowns than him. He'll flip out.
Oh, not a big deal. How about we just take all the Dallas Cowboys announcers and the guys that are all dinosaurs and won football games when VHS were popular and the 8-track was just going out of style. A team who hasn't really won anything in the past two decades get shown up for being the real frauds that they are. And I'm going to take this moment in time to address that Jason Coward is a fraud. Jerry Jones does not know how to properly build a football team. Have fun paying your running back $90 million and not paying Amari Cooper, and you're going to let Byron Jones walk in free agency, who is your best cornerback all day long. Have fun letting Chidobe Awuzie be your cornerback one, because Greg Ward and Robert Davis and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside and Dallas Goedert and Zach Ertz all had receptions when they were lined up against Chidobe Awuzie.
And by the way, Sanders is the one
that
got him
safety on the back end still. Sean Lee is still playing meaningful minutes for you. Your defensive line stinks. Michael Bennett didn't show up. DeMarcus Lawrence made one play all day, maybe one play in the entire rivalry. Your team was a fraudulent team from the get-go. They were never in the NFC conversation. They were never in the NFC East conversation, in my opinion, if the Eagles didn't have the injury luck that they had all season long. You had all your chips in the middle of the table. You had a healthy offense, you had a healthy defense, and you couldn't pull it off. That is a definition of a fraudulent team. And the Eagles are a team that when all the chips are stacked against them and when nobody gives them a chance, they have proven everybody wrong. And they continue to do it. Doug Peterson has now beaten three Coach of the Years, if Sean McDermott does win that award. The Eagles are now on pace to have three straight winning seasons, the potential to go into the playoffs three straight seasons in a row, the potential to surpass the New England Patriots for the most playoff wins in the past 3 years. Who's the real team here, Lou? I think it's very clear.
It's been the same team that's been that better team for, like you said, two decades now since we've been alive. And again, I think it was perfect that column from Jeff McClain came out right before this game about how this team has rallied around Carson Wentz and how Brandon Brooks this week in the media called out the source and said and talked about all the adversity that Carson Wentz has had to go through. And not just Carson Wentz, he really represents, he reflects all of that adversity that this entire team has had to go through. Again, like you said, Dallas was healthy. They have talent on both sides of the football, and they lost to a team that was just crumbling apart. They already were from an injury standpoint. And then in this game, again, five different core pieces was hurt today for the Philadelphia Eagles. It was, again, such an enjoyable story. And again, we lead it with number 11, Carson Wentz, and the head coach, Doug Peterson. And those two stepped up in a big way today. To get into Doug Peterson, Gino, because we haven't touched on him yet, I thought play calling wise today, really, really good job, as he really has been late in the season for three straight years now. I will say, it's been a wild ride with Doug Peterson this year. There's times where I want to cry because his offensive play calling is so beautiful. And then there's times where I'm like, what the hell, man? Why on third and one are you going empty set? And then on fourth and one, you're going empty set and you're targeting Joshua Perkins. Or when Jake Elliott is clearly in his own head, you're going to decide on the opposing like 38-yard line, you're going to kick a 55-yard field goal instead of going for it. I mean, Doug, it's just, I don't know who's in his head. I don't know why there's this the abandonment of analytics with the second and long runs, but then you don't want to do it in third and short when the QB sneak has worked all year long. Doug had a good play calling day today for sure, but there were times I wanted to grind my head against a cheese grater with some of his decisions.
I kind of had like,
it was such a hot and cold day for me with Doug. Yeah, I was yelling at him with tears of joy and then just pissed off.
When they ran that screen to Boston Scott behind the line right after they take that holding penalty.
Did it remind you of the Darren Sproles from 2016?
I tweeted it out and I literally had every bad thing. I felt like who was it? Doctor Strange from the Avengers, when he had to run through all those scenarios in his head, how they win the Infinity War. And I had all these scenarios running through my head about the Darren Sproles screen or the Wendell Smallwood fumble and all these bad things and the Jason Witten push off, which he pushed off. I sent you that video, Lou. I will continue to say
you'll
that.
Never
until
let it go, and
I'll never let
that.
It go. He pushed off, but. When they needed to get it together, man, they finally did. And
how about that play action pass on the final drive? I mean, a lot of Jason Garrett probably just runs it up the A gap three straight times and punts, whereas Doug Peterson finally found his stones and
I want to rip into him, but like when it matters, he gets it done, and like that's what counts. But yeah, I mean, arguably they probably could have scored 31 points for sure if they, passing out of an empty set when you have the best quarterback at converting third and fourth and short
and
situations on
Sanders
seats.
Was playing. It's like, oh my god!
And you could have ran one of those double back sets. They didn't even try that. Like when they had, I think we saw it in Buffalo. Remember when Jordan Howard was like the lead blocker on that? I know they ran that with Boston Scott.
They ran that a bunch today. It just wasn't in the right spot.
I mean, it's tough to get mad, and then like you'll have that play when they run empty, and it's they have a. They're running shotgun and they do the read option, and they got Carson Wentz moving on the ground, and that's something good to see because the Bills did it with Josh Allen on Thanksgiving against them. They were clearly watching the tape how to beat this Dallas team. I thought they did a good job outside of those couple third and fourth and shorts,
and in fairness, Wentz did check out of one of the plays, but they still were in shotgun with no running back next.
Yeah, they still came empty set out of the timeout.
Exactly. So, I mean, it was still a formation problem with Peterson. But, yeah, like you said, I mean, but I feel like it is fair for us. We do have to point out some of the negatives because I kept thinking, man, they're going to lose this football game by, like, 3 points. And I'm going to keep saying if Doug went for it or if Jake Elliott, you know, hits one of these field goals. So there were still – this game should not have been 17-9.
Or running on second and 10. Can we never run on second and 10 ever again?
It just
ever again. It's worthless.
But like you said, you know, when the chips were down, he came through, Carson Wentz came through, Miles Sanders came through, and the defense came through. So we do have to point out the negatives, and we'll get more into that in Stock Up, Stock Down for sure tomorrow. But, you know, it's...
We deserve to ride this high a little bit.
Yes, I agree,
after
man.
After the season that we went through.
Yes. It feels so good, especially against Dallas. To do it against Dallas.
I was getting into it on Twitter with somebody, and they're like, oh, don't you think it was Dallas not executing as much as it was Philadelphia winning that game? No, this was Philadelphia winning a game, playing 60 minutes of football, something that we really haven't seen since. I don't think we've seen a 60-minute football game since the Chicago Bears game. And even, I mean, Chicago in the playoffs last year. And even that really... Really wasn't a full 60-minute game. I mean, their offense started slow, came down to the end, but it's been so long, and I just enjoy, win or lose, I just enjoy watching good football, and today was an enjoyable football game. And yeah, if it came down to like a field goal miss that because of Jake Elliott, it would have sucked for sure, but at the end of the day, it was a fun game, man. Carson Wentz had some pretty throws. Miles Sanders had some pretty runs. Greg Ward, J.J., both had some pretty catches. Dallas Goedert and Zach Ertz, man. Zach Ertz with a broken rib comes up and plays huge.
Yeah, Wentz got him killed on that one throw.
Yeah, he gave him a body bag throw. But just seeing players like Sidney Jones and Malcolm Jenkins deserves all the money in the world.
Well, really seeing the injured players tough it out, too. Like, seeing it was like to see Ertz come back into that football game and to see Fletcher Cox come back. And like you said, the next play, you know, strip Tony Pollard to get the ball back when the Cowboys were about to score either a touchdown or a field goal. It again shows the passion, the heart of this football team still that we questioned for a couple weeks there before that Bills game. We didn't know if this team, the 2019 version of the Philadelphia Eagles, still had that heart. And even if they don't make the playoffs, which would be a disaster scenario now, it's really that's one of the biggest takeaways of the season is we know that this core still has it. And a lot of these guys aren't going anywhere. I mean, this was not going to be a rebuild in the offseason. It was going to be a retooling for sure. There needs to be significant change still in this offseason, but there's a lot of guys here still that you can believe are going to be making the Eagles play good football for years to come. And goddamn, I'm glad that number 11 is going to be leading the way, dude. Since week 13, real quick, just some more Wentz talk because who can get enough right now? Number one in the NFL on third down passing. He's number one in the NFL in red zone touchdowns. Number three in NFL passing touchdowns. He continues his passing touchdown streak now. What is it, to 18 games?
18.
So I mean, just hats off to Carson Wentz. I mean, he has dealt with more this year outside and inside than I think any quarterback has had to deal with in really the last 3 years. I mean, what a story. A player that was a second overall pick to be an MVP winner. He was going to be the MVP winner with a one seed in the NFC, to watch someone else lead your team to a Super Bowl, only to the next year get hurt at the same time and watch him go on another run, to then have people talking bad about you behind your back, and seeing all the injuries happen around you when it was supposed to be a historically good, talented offense, and you have this team playing 8-7 football, 3-0 in your last three games, with a win and in scenario next week. I mean, Carson Wentz is a baller, man. He's a baller. I don't know what else I can say about him. I mean, if you, at this point, still have a beef with Carson Wentz, you're doing it straight for clicks, and that's really it.
Has he not elevated his team enough the past 3 weeks?
Right. The old E word.
He elevated this team. He was a true franchise quarterback when it mattered. He took care of the football. I'm not even going to put that fumble on him, Lou. Jason
that was
Peters
frustrating,
got
too, because, like, and it was a two-handed monster. Like, he had two hands on the football.
Yeah, JP got beat clean. JP, man, I'm ready to see him hang it up, dude. Yeah. He's cost this team.
Two more penalties today, and of course a false start to start off the game.
Still have shot themselves in the foot a little bit in this game, and that still is something to see. Like, I mean, Jason Peters, Jason Kelce, like, you can't have those type of mistakes by two veterans. But, man, when 11 is playing good ball, when 11 is taking care of the football, when 11 is now on pace, Lou, if he has to throw... He now has to throw three interceptions next week against the Giants to not qualify to be the third quarterback, or no, the first quarterback ever to do it three seasons in a row. What was it? 22 passing touchdowns and single-digit interceptions. Yep. He would be the first person ever.
Elite status,
to do that.
Sir. Elite status.
He is a franchise quarterback in my eyes, man. If you don't want to play for that guy, there's just something wrong with you. And we talked about
Brooks
a team,
even said this week, man. He called out whoever was. If you got a problem with Wentz at this point, I mean, you're probably going to be gone this offseason.
Yeah, and I think Kelvin Watkins, he's a Dallas Cowboys reporter, and this is kind of like a perfect way to encapsulate everything that's going on. And seeing an Eagles team that is playing together, even when they don't have the talent, even when they have the injuries, are playing for one another. DeMarcus Lawrence in the locker room post-game says, quote, "Talent without direction is nothing at all. It's all about making sure we don't lose sight of our direction and bringing that talent all together. A lot of people out here want to split us up and talk about the wins and the losses and all that." You know what, Lou? This team, this Philadelphia Eagles team, they didn't do any talking this week. They kept it all in-house. They were the team that didn't let things get out. That Dak Prescott injury, that should have never got out into the media the way that it did. This team didn't show up prepared. A team that had veterans, and they sign Randall Cobb, and Jason Witten comes out of retirement, and you sign your running back, and this is, quote, the year for Dak Prescott. Talent without leadership is nothing at all. I think that's a beautiful quote, and when you have leaders like Carson Wentz and Doug Peterson to lead your team, it could be a collection of JV players, XFL players, CFL players, AFL players, European Football League players, Australian Football League players. If you have that coach and quarterback combination, you can go far. And man, I can't wait till they have a healthy team next year. It's going to be so much fun to watch them finally, Lou. We got a glimpse of it week one. We've gotten great glimpses of a team led by Carson Wentz, not with as much talent, but hey, if we could be thrown to a guy like Brandon Ayuk next year, or any KJ Hamler with a DeSean Jackson and healthy Alshon, it's going to be so fun. I will say that Carson Wentz is on his way to be the best quarterback in Eagles history.
That's a great way to finish off the podcast. I couldn't have said it better myself. The Eagles win it 17-9. It's not over. Don't get ready to buy your 2019 NFC East champion apparel quite yet. They got to win a football game next week on the road at MetLife Stadium against the New York Giants, who gave the Eagles some trouble a couple weeks ago. So, you know, the nervous hypochondriac in me is still nervous, still wants to just get that last W and get into the playoffs. But the Eagles, again, control their own destiny now. They got the big win out of the way. Now just take care of business like you did last year against the Redskins. Do it this year against a just as bad football team in the New York Giants, and you are NFC East champions because they stepped up in a huge must-win, do-or-die matchup today against the Dallas Cowboys, who, of course, if the Eagles don't win next week, they can still get in, but they need the Redskins to beat the Cowboys. And I just, again, let's just get this win. Let's get this win, and we'll talk about it more later on throughout the week, leading off with tomorrow, stock up, stock down. We got to get out of here. For my co-host, Gino Camilleri, I'm Lou DiBiase signing off. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnBirds, at DiBiase, L-O-E, and at Gino underscore L-O-E. For Gino, signing off, as always, thank you for downloading, thank you for listening, and let's go, Birds. One more win, baby.
And as BG would say, we ain't done yet.